You'll be aware now that during the summer period I've been going through the book of Proverbs, and on a Wednesday we've been going through the book of Proverbs, mainly because there's no time wasted when you're looking at the Word of God, but also with the holiday period and so many people coming and going, it's an easy book to pick something up and dive into, whereas some books of the Bible, if you miss a week or you miss 2 weeks because you're away on holiday, it almost feels like you miss the plot, doesn't it? And you think, I wonder where this is actually fitting in. So that's one of the reasons why we're looking at the book of Proverbs. And the second reason why we're looking at the book of Proverbs is, I don't know about you, but I need a bit more wisdom. Perhaps I'm the only one. There's a few heads nodding, so perhaps not alone after all. So that makes me feel much better. And today the title is Change Your Life. Change your life, because if you look back over your lives, and some of you have had a few years more than me, and some of you might have not had as many years as me, but look back over your life for a moment and think of those periods where you think, I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have said that. I wish I hadn't have got involved with that. I wish I hadn't have mixed with those people. I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd said that. Or is it just me that thinks about those things? If we're really honest, we could all put our hands up this morning and say there are those times when I wish I'd done that, said that, been there. Or not said that, done that, been there. And the book of Proverbs, as I've often said, is a gracious gift to us from God. It's not just a book of witty sayings, because you can get proverbial things in any bookshop. You can go into Alison's bookshop in Tewkesbury and look in the poetry section, and no doubt you'll find a book on Proverbs. But we need more than just witty sayings. We need wisdom. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to book of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll be looking at verses 14 to the end of the chapter. If you were here on Wednesday, we looked at the first 13 verses of chapter 4. And it was quite interesting because I started off by asking the question, how do you treat a woman? And people were scratching their heads for a moment, probably thinking Wayne's really lost the plot this time. We knew he'd lost the plot, but now he's lost the plot that he did lose. How do you treat a woman? And Solomon starts off in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, hear, O sons, and he's talking to his children. And the way he explains wisdom in the book of Proverbs for this chapter is there's a very much having a sense of having a relationship with wisdom. To embrace it, to hold it. Verse 13, it says, take hold of instruction, do not let her go, guard her, for she is your life. And a lot of people said to the answer to the question about treating a woman with respect, how do you treat a woman? They said, well, with respect and with care and things like that. It's interesting that Solomon writes and talks about treating God's word, God's wisdom. He personifies her as a she. He says things like, she will place a garland of grace upon your head, prize her, she will exalt you. The way in which we treat relationships is found in the first 13 verses of chapter 4 there. But today I want to talk about changing your life. And so we start off by verse 14 of chapter 4 there, and it says this. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. That's not pass on as in, you know, move on. I won't dig myself a hole here just yet. Verse 16 says, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. And put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. And let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn the right nor to the left. turn your foot from evil. It's not rocket science, really, is it? But then the book of Proverbs isn't about rocket science. It's about maintaining relationships. And you probably can't see it because of these lovely flowers here. I've got no idea what these are, so I won't say what they are. Who?
Fuchsias.
Fuchsias. Right. I've learned about botany today. There we go. The book of Proverbs can be summarized in three different ways. Walking with God, walking with the righteous, or walking with sinners. It's not about rocket science. It's about relationships. Because if it was about rocket science, it would probably just be, well, Norman left here to work it out, because Norman would probably be able to work those things out, because he's got a good brain on his shoulders, and I wouldn't be able to work those things out. Einstein said this. This is Albert Einstein, said many interesting things, but one of the things he said is this: the need of the world is to know God. That's quite profound, isn't it? From a top scientist, worth remembering. The need of the world is to know God. And our basic need this week isn't if we got bread on the table or your car's working or anything else like that. Your basic need this week is actually to know God. And when you think you know God, just get to know him that little bit better. See, understanding how he put man on the moon won't change your life. But understanding how he put man on the cross will. And we've got to come back to the word of God and say, this is the living reality that I really need for this week. Because the book of Proverbs is actually tomorrow's newspaper, isn't it? The way of the wicked, the way of the righteous. And today it talks about different things. And the first thing it talks about is a path. Verses 14 to 19 then. The first thing he says is this. Do not enter the path of the wicked and proceed in the way of evil men. When we get the echo, because Joshua has a paper around, he delivers the echo, I have a quick look in the mornings, and it's guaranteed the first five pages are about kids, old people, young people doing evil things. The way of the wicked. Do not enter that pathway. But as you read these stories in the newspapers or you see them on the telly, I wonder how many of these people actually thought when they were 5 or 6 years old, I want to grow up and be a granny basher. I want to grow up and rob a bank one day. I want to grow up and be a prostitute. I want to grow up and be a drug dealer. How many of these people actually thought those things when they were 5 or 6? Very few. But somewhere along the line, they've not either encountered God's word or they've walked away from God's word. And it's a do not here in verse 14. It says, do not enter the path of the wicked. And it's simple, really, isn't it? Do not. It's like when I was young, if my mum would say, don't touch the cooker, it's hot. Guarantee you, I would touch the cooker. Why is that? When we're told not to do things, we do it. Don't touch those cakes, they're just being made. Why is there one missing? Not me. And the Bible tells us, do not because it's hard and it's boring and it's difficult, but it's there for our own safety. Often we think in ourselves, you know, if only I had hindsight, I wouldn't have done that, said that, been there. Which is why the book of Proverbs is such a gracious gift of hindsight from God. When it says do not, it's there for a reason. It's there that God wants us to be protected. It says, do not enter the path of the wicked. You're not even mixing with the wicked yet. It's entering their pathway. And you'll soon see how it goes down. It says, do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. Don't even get near it. Don't even stop and browse. It's interesting how the shops are made so we stop and browse, and sometimes sin and wickedness is made in such a delightful way that we're tempted just to stop and browse. Oh, look at that. Did you hear that? Have you seen that? We're all tempted to do those sorts of things. And he says, turn away. Don't even pass near it. Avoid it. Pass on. Don't dawdle or browse. Keep moving. There are two paths here. There's the paths of the righteous in verse 18 and the paths of the wicked in verse 14. Verse 16, it says, they cannot sleep unless they do evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they do evil to make someone stumble. Verse 17, it talks about the bread of wickedness and the wine of violence. I know another bread of wine, but it's a place of blessing. And here we have a sense of an ungodly communion, don't we? Let me ask you a question. Is the Bible politically correct? Is the Bible polite over moral issues? Or does it actually stand up for something and say, this is wrong and this is right? Or does it say, Norman, if you feel like it, If it's right for you, you can pass by or you can stop and browse at the sinful path of the wicked. I'm only using Norman because he's right in front of me. If Tom was there, then I'd use Tom, and Tim's further back, so I can't use him. Do you get the picture here? You see, God's word is not politically correct. It's an instruction book. I know when I was learning to fix marine engines, and there'll be a list of do's and don'ts in the instruction manuals. Not maybes, but do's and don'ts. And sometimes we approach God's word with a culture of our own understanding, like we're British and we're part of this cultural claptrap scene of political correctness, when really we need to see it as an instruction manual. It's there as do's and don'ts. You know, if you don't put oil in your engine, what will happen? It might break down. You know, it might just break down. No, it will. It will seize up. There are some definite pitfalls here. There are some definite things. There are reasons to believe in a right and a wrong. And the book of Proverbs can make us feel uncomfortable. If the book of Proverbs was really read by society today, it would probably be banned as being politically incorrect. But he says in verse 13, but the path of the righteous will be like the light of the dawn, getting brighter and brighter. Do you wake up sometimes in the morning, the birds are singing and it's dark, and you think, just be quiet. And you look at your clock or your watch, and it's like 4:30 in the morning, and you go back to sleep. And you wake up perhaps an hour later, and it's just a little bit light, and the birds are singing a bit more. You wake up at 8:00 in the morning, and the noise and the pandemonium is absolutely amazing. It's almost as if the lighter it gets, the more noise and jubilance there is. And the life seems to wake up. This is what the Bible encourages to be like, to follow the path of the righteous that just gets brighter and brighter until the full day. How many butterflies do you see basking in the moonlight? You might see a few moths, but some moths are pretty, aren't they, Sally? But some are just really gross and deserve to fly around at night. But butterflies like to open their wings in the heat of the day and the bask of the night. There's a very real sense that Christians, it's time to show God's beauty that he's given you and bask in the path of the righteousness. Verse 19, that says, the way of the wicked is darkness. They do not know over what they even stumble. Have you noticed when you walk through a graveyard during the daytime, it's nice and peaceful? You'll see the birds and the squirrels, especially Tewkesbury Cemetery is quite peaceful during the daytime. You walk through there at night time and you think, I want to get through here as quick as possible. Not that I do that sort of thing very often, hasten to add. But there's a sense of night and dark gives us a totally different perspective on things. And the way of the wicked is darkness. Now, again, that could be seen as being politically correct. But I want to give you an illustration here, so I wonder if I can pick on. I'll pick on Nehemiah. Can you come here, Nehemiah, for a minute? Yes. Now, the way of the wicked is darkness, and they don't even know what they stumble over. The image here is of somebody who's got a sack on their head. Now, if I ask you to walk out to the car, if I give you the car keys, if I did give you the car keys, and I said, there's a bottle of water in the car, go and get a bottle of water, how far do you think you'd get? Well, you're not supposed to say, I can see through it. You're supposed to say... you're supposed to say, I can't see, I'll probably stumble and fall. So what would happen? You'd probably stumble and fall, wouldn't you? Anyway, that's the kind of image. Thank you, my dear. Do sit down. What do they say? Never work with animals. Anyway... But the image that, and it's very visual in the book of Proverbs, is this whole sense of you might as well walk around with a sack over your head, even during the daytime, because you're going to stumble over and fall over something. Isn't it interesting how that once you start walking down that path of wickedness, it just goes deeper and deeper into more and more trouble, doesn't it? Until you get to the point where people can't even recognize themselves. They've got so deep into things. You could think of a little boy in Iraq who was very pleasant and calm, a really nice little boy when he was growing up. And then one day he turned into this monster that we heard of, Saddam Hussein. To the point where he was so conditioned, he wouldn't even bat an eyelid if he shot one of his own relatives. But the way of the wicked is darkness. They don't even know what they're stumbling over. to this point where their consciences are so seared that they don't even recognize right from wrong anymore. I tell you what, I would really hate to get to that condition. Well, I can't even tell the difference between what is right and what is wrong. But that's exactly where our culture is going. It's almost there, isn't it? Where it can't distinguish between right and wrong anymore. It knows about some things, but some things are drifting really, really. It's like Great Britain, you've got a sack over your head. And it's daytime. You can't even distinguish where you're going. And this is why the book of Proverbs is such a gracious gift to us. So we have to take authority over our pathway. And the second thing is we have to take authority over our own bodies. And the book of Proverbs gives us five responsibilities here. And the first one in verse 20, it says this: "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Incline your ear. It's interesting when you look at rabbits, and I've used this illustration as we've gone through the book of Proverbs, because very, very often it says incline your ear in the book of Proverbs. When you look at rabbits, it's not what they're eating that keeps them alive. It's their ears that keeps them alive. And when you drive past the fields and you see all the rabbits, as soon as they hear your car coming there. And the book of Proverbs gives us that kind of image, that in the sense it's not what you think you can do that your survival is based on. It's how well can you hear? Now, some of us have to wear hearing aids these days. But that's kind of different, isn't it? How well can you hear God? That's a different one, isn't it? Incline your ear to my sayings, because your life actually depends on how well you hear God. It's as simple as that. A rabbit's survival is not on what he eats or how much, but on what he hears. In the same way as Christians, our survival depends on what we hear from God. But it's not just on what we hear. Verses 21 and verse 25, he says this. I'll just remind you, it says, "Do let them depart from your sight. Keep in mind all these things." It's interesting how we live in a very sort of funny age of not being able to distinguish right from wrong, but we also live in an age where it sort of really bombards your eyesight. Like adverts on the telly and everything else, it really sort of tries to capture your eye straight away, doesn't it? But God's word says, don't let these things depart from your eyesight. Now, I want to talk about sailing for a moment, so I'm going to need some helpful volunteers. Who have we got? I better not pick on my children. Yes, there's one volunteer. I need, how many do I need? I need three volunteers, actually. Do we have another volunteer in here?
Yeah,
yes, Tim. Thank you, Tim. Right, I'll tell you what, Tim, as you're the tallest, I want you to stand up here. With those above your head like that. Can you do that?
Do my best.
You do your best. I tell you what, if we have one more volunteer, Libby, would you be a volunteer? I'll clip that on there. And if I put this one just there. Right, if you stand over here, Libby. Now, can you all see the lights? Now, I want you to imagine that Libby's sailing and it's dark, and she's got to enter this port really, really safely. But if it's dark, you don't really know where the port entrance is or the right angle to. So if you come over here, Libby, you'll be in my boat, and you see all these flashing lights, and you think, well, there's two flashing lights over there. There's one over there on the left and the right. How do I get into port? Well, the thing is, what you've got to do is sail your boat over to here until the red flashing lights are exactly in the middle of the other flashing lights. And then that is the entranceway to the harbour, and that's how sailors do it, but they use slightly different colours. And that one stays still. Otherwise, he gets a sack on his head. Okay. And in she goes, safe and sound.
Hey.
Thank you. Excellent. Do sit down. Now, just in case you thought I lost the plot again. Yep. We figure out how to turn these off. When I was learning to sail and going into a French port, which I knew nothing about, The captain of the boat said, keep those markers in your eyesight. Don't let them depart from your sight, because your life depends on whether you've lined those all up properly. And the moment you miss those markers, we'll run aground. And his phrase over and over again was, don't let those depart from your sight. It's interesting how God's word says, don't let these things depart from our sight, just because, just like navigation markers, the word of God is like a navigational aid to stop us from our faith being shipwrecked. How many people do you know who used to walk with Jesus? And they took their eyes off the navigational aid and now they're on the rocks. Sad, isn't it? Do you begin to see how the book of Proverbs is such a gracious gift to us? Because it gives us hindsight. It talks about incline your ear and it says, don't let these things depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their own body. There's a very real sense that when we come to the end of our lives, will it be this that safely guides you in? Hello? Yes. Yes, thank you. Perhaps you're thinking about your roast dinners. I don't know. Thirdly, he says, watch over with all your heart. Verse 23 there. Do you begin to see the physical things he's trying to use here? Don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. So, number one killer in the United Kingdom is heart disease. And we often see it on the television, don't we? And charity bags come about heart disease. We learnt a little bit about heart disease when we had Emily and all the little leaflets and things that they give out. And here's a little leaflet called Looking After Your Heart. It's interesting, isn't it? You can download this off the internet if you like, because I'm not a cardiologist, so I don't know these things. It says, your heart is designed to last a lifetime, but you have to do your bit to ensure it stays in good working order. That's interesting, isn't it? So does that mean if I eat donuts all the time, because I quite like donuts and cakes when nobody's looking, and occasionally they might find a sweet wrapper in the car that doesn't belong to the children, that's not really looking after my heart, is it? And if I go to the doctor and he says, your cholesterol's up, what you've been eating, and I say, ooh, donuts and donuts and donuts, he'll tell me off and not Iris. He won't say to me, well, you can blame your mum and dad for that. And say, Wayne, you haven't looked after your heart, you're responsible. Now, there are genetic heart conditions, I'm fully aware of that, but what I'm talking about is spiritual things, in the sense that your spiritual heart is meant to last a lifetime. But do we look after our heart like the government says, or even how the Bible says? It's all to do with our spiritual diet, isn't it? When it says to health to the whole body, watch over your heart, verse 23, with all diligence. Because you are responsible for feeding your heart and looking after your heart spiritually. You can't blame anybody else. God will charge me for the responsibility of the state of my heart because I fed it. What I feed my spiritual heart with, I will become like. What was it Jesus said? He says, it's the things you feed yourself, you become like. Look after your heart with all diligence, and the word in the Hebrew for diligence is literally to mean every day and night. Keep check on it. What are the signs of poor heart condition according to the government and the NHS? Shortness of breath. Do you get shortness of breath when you come to worship God? Do you get to that stage sometimes you think, oh, why can't they just be quiet? I've had enough singing now, I just want to sit down. It's interesting how physical heart condition has also spiritual connections as well. There are sometimes we don't feel like worshipping God because our heart isn't right. It's interesting how some people say, I don't get anything out of church today. I don't want to go to church. Don't get anything out of it. Is that church or is that because their ticker isn't right spiritually? It's interesting, isn't it? Pain is another uncomfortable presence of a heart problem. So is it spiritually to be uncomfortable in the presence of God when we worship? Exercise, they say, is good for the heart. Do you exercise your heart spiritually? Do you meditate on God's word? Do you physical, spiritual, keep fit? Worship's always good for that. It's interesting that detecting the heart and its conditions start with a stethoscope. And they're always cold, aren't they? What's God saying about your heart today? Because the book of Proverbs is so gracious to us, isn't it? And it talks to us very, very gently as a father speaks to his children. Verse 3 of chapter 4 says this, when I was a son to my father, tender, the only son in the sight of my mother, then he talked to me and said, let your heart keep fast of my words. You see, there's a tenderness about God's word. It's not here with a big stick to beat you today, but it's saying, Listen to your heartbeat. What is the condition of your heart? Perhaps you need to apply the Lamb's blood to your heart this morning. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. So how do you look after your heart? You watch it with all diligence. Be interesting this morning if we could all go around and check our spiritual pulses, wouldn't it? I wonder where you'd measure it. Was it here or here or here or here? But what's your pulse like this morning? Is it healthy? Something to think about. The next thing he says, fourthly, is responsibility to your mouth. Now that's even worse than the heart sometimes, isn't it? Verse 24, it says, put away a deceitful mouth and devious lips from you. A deceitful mouth, half-truths, devious lips, gossip. You see, the mouth is dealt with once the heart is dealt with. And you will never change the way you are until your heart is dealt with. He says, put away these things. It literally means turn off like a tap. It's interesting that people with heart problems, my gran used to have a terrible heart problem. She was one of the first people to have a plastic heart valve put in. Now, as I remember as a child listening to her heart about 1974, as this plastic heart valve was in her, I thought she was a bomb because it made such a loud ticking noise. It was absolutely incredible. I was thinking, flipping that gran's going to blow up in a minute. Especially at night time, when you used to go and stay with a tick, 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 tick. You think, that is awful. But she always used to have blue lips. Because her heart wasn't right, wasn't oxygenating her. Responsibility from our mouth. What are our lips like? What's our tone like? Is it a bit blue? Fifthly, he talks about responsibility for your feet, verses 26 and 27. It's getting a bit personal now because we don't like to look at our feet sometimes. We don't like other people to look at our feet, do we? No, it can be a tricky one, can't it? Unless you've painted them. No, I haven't painted mine this morning, so you can't look at them. Verse 26 and 27 says this. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn from the right to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Where have you been walking this week? It's easy to tell. You just sort of go like this, don't you? And, I've got a bit of blue tack or something on there. And that one's quite clean. Some more. I've got no straw or any other horrible things we could mention, but we won't. Where have you been walking this week? Not with your physical shoes, but with your spiritual shoes. And if you could look at your spiritual shoes this morning, I would encourage you just to turn over the sole and have a little look. Because the evidence of where you've been walking would be on the sole. We have to prepare our feet, don't we? It's interesting, just as there are leaflets about looking after your heart, there are leaflets about looking after your feet. How to look after your feet if you go barefoot walking. Always watch the path ahead. It's true, that's what it says. I don't like that one, that's very appropriate. Stop and have a good look if you want to take a good pathway. When your feet are in motion, focus on the path that is front of you, two or three paces in front. This should stop any problems. It's a bit odd, isn't it? But when you look at that in a spiritual kind of sense, when he says, watch over the path where you're walking. Sometimes we're so distracted in life, we're looking over here and we're looking over there, we're not actually looking on the pathway we're ahead where we are supposed to be walking. It's interesting, I think if we were to follow government health lines on looking after our heart and our feet, perhaps we would be different spiritually, I don't know. Number six here, it says, develop habits of awareness. Be careful and deliberate as you walk and maneuver your feet around obstacles. Retract your step if you don't like the feeling of what you're stepping on. It's interesting, isn't it? Sneaky. Ooh! I don't think I need to know that one, actually. It just sort of kind of happens, isn't it? It's part of a function that happens if I tread on something with my bare feet and I don't like the feel of it. I'm not going to leave it there, am I? And yet, how slow we are spiritually when we walk in places where we shouldn't. Pull our feet up. We kind of get conditioned spiritually to the point where we're just walking in ways we shouldn't do. And we no longer have that ability to instantaneously direct our path. Can you see where I'm trying to go this morning? I probably sound a bit muddled, I don't know. But we have a responsibility for all of these things. And he says, turn your foot from evil. And that means anything that's hurtful or can cause unhappiness. time for change. Do you want change to your life? I want change to my life because I'm a long way off anything that the book of Proverbs says. Where are you this morning? Time to check your path. Time to check your pulse. Time to check your feet. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father, we thank you that your word is always straight and to the point. We thank you that your word is never politically correct. It's just truthful. It tells us things as they are. It doesn't cover them with honey and make them sound pleasant and sweet. We also thank you that the book of Proverbs is this gracious gift to us. Help us this week, Lord, to keep our eyes and our ears focused on you, that we would become more spiritually in tune with you, that our spiritual hearts would beat in your time of beat, and that our spirituality would become more prompt and responsive to the environment in which we live. We just thank you for the gospel of grace. And I would just ask, Lord, that if there's anybody here this morning who's living with regret or pain from things that they've caused themselves or other people have caused them, that they would begin to find that place of healing this morning. Lord, that we would consider the big questions in life. Not how we put man on the moon, but how we put man on the cross. And we would find Jesus in the book of Proverbs, as his heart was poured out for us, as his body was broken for us. Renew us, refresh us this morning, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. We're going to stand and sing in closing. We rest on thee, our shield and defender. And if there's anything that's touched your heart this morning and you'd like somebody to sit down and pray with you about that, please don't go home. Grab somebody here, one of the elders or somebody near to you, somebody you can trust, and just ask that the Lord will change something for you today. Let's stand and sing. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be majesty, glory, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.